On this first federal Juneteenth holiday, author and historian Annette Gordon-Reed talks to Jeffrey Brown and explains the importance of this date through her personal history. It's part of our arts and culture series, Canvas.
This is Texas, mighty colossus of the Southwest.
The 1956 film Giant. Historian Annette Gordon-Reed sees the legend of her native state of Texas, the oil man, along with cowboys and ranchers. But from its foundings as a republic, she says, there was always another Texas.
There's this vague sense that slavery was there, but not that it was something that was embedded, that was the reason, that was a big part of the republic. We're very proud of the Texas Republic, but the Texas Republic was a slaveholder's republic, unabashedly. And there's no way around that. It's in the Constitution of the Republic. So that part of it gets hidden. And if you don't have that component, you really can't understand what's going on in Texas.
One of the country's preeminent historians, Gordon Reed, teaches at Harvard Law School. She's best known for bringing to light the life of Sally Hemings, the enslaved woman who bore children to her owner, Thomas Jefferson. Gordon Reed's 2008 book, The Hemingses of Monticello, won both the Pulitzer Prize. At Boston's Museum of African American History recently, we talked of her new book, On Juneteenth, a mix of Texas history and personal memoir, writing in a way that was new to her.
Did it feel strange to you?
It felt do because I've spent years writing about other people's families,
right,
and sort of standing outside of a figure like Jefferson and being detached from that. And the Hemingses too, as a matter of fact. Any subject, any other person's life that you write about, you have so there's a disconnect. But here, I'm talking about myself.
But you and your family are now part of the story, which in fact you are.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And that was the interesting thing, to think about how historical events actually shape your life. I mean, we're all part of history, and we're not all famous. Or Washington or Booker T. Washington or whatever, but in our lives, history shapes what happens to us, and what I try to do in the book is to show how that Juneteenth and afterwards affected my family and my life.
And as you write, slavery itself was just, I think your term is, a blink of an eye.
Yes.
From that generation.
Absolutely. My great-grandmother's mother had been enslaved as a child, and she was freed by her father, who was an owner at the same as well. So I knew people who knew enslaved people. It's not very far in our past at all.
On June 19, 1865, Major General Gordon Granger announced the end of legalized slavery in Texas, months after the end of the Civil War. It became a day to celebrate for Black Americans. Annette Gordon-Reed remembers it from her own childhood.
It was a day where we got to drink a lot of what we call soda water.
Soda water.
Which is basically soda pop, which is, you know, we didn't have every day then, so it was a special holiday kind of thing.
She grew up in the town of Conroe, in a part of East Texas that experienced the continuing legacy of slavery and Jim Crow segregation. First Black child to integrate her town's so-called white school. She was taught to remember the Alamo and its heroes, as in the 1960 film, only later learning the full story of those who fought for independence from Mexico.
I mean, in that case, as you write, some of the heroes were slave owners, and the very thing they were defending included slavery.
Yes, so it's tough. I mean, because we human beings apparently need mythology. We talk about it, and historians talk about it sometimes in pejorative terms, but this is something that we actually need, and we have to find some way, I think, to, you know, keep the ideals, the sort of ideals about fighting for what you believe in and all of that on one hand. What's going on there?
It's the same approach she's taken to founding fathers like Jefferson. Honor the contribution while being clear about the failings and contradictions.
I can't tell anybody else how to think about it. The only thing I can do is make the argument and say that there are some people who are central to the formation of the nation. And you can't pretend that they didn't exist. The words in the Declaration of Independence have inspired people all over the world. But if you have Jefferson there, you have to talk about all of it, right? You have to talk about his entire life and the good things and the bad things.
There's something you write a few times, so it feels like it was important to you. things and events didn't have to happen the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
A different path could have been taken.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that people generally have a false sense of history, that things sort of had to happen a certain way?
Yes, I think people do have that feeling, and that's one of the things that historians try to disabuse students of, that they're choices that people make. They made the choice to have Texas as a slaveholders' republic. Slavery's over, and you know, they could have said, I should say, slavery's over, now we're going to incorporate these people who have worked here, or as much a part of this land as we are, and we're going to go forward in a different way. But they didn't make that decision. There was recalcitrance, and they fought, and those were choices. So I think that's empowering. Mm-hmm. To me, I think it's empowering because it means that we can make choices.
Texas made Juneteenth a state holiday in 1980. Many states, cities, and institutions came to recognize it as an official day of observance. And now, with this week's votes by the Senate and House, plus President Biden's signature, June 19th becomes Juneteenth, a national holiday. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown.